Dr. Sung, Chapter 17, being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. The lame walk. Prayer for the sick has always been a natural part of the faith of Chinese Christians. Many a church has been founded on the basis of prayer heard and answered for the chronically ill, or people raised up from critical illnesses. God has answered prayer in so many thousands of cases that Christians in China expect miracles to happen, and they undoubtedly do. It becomes natural, therefore, to expect that every man who evidently had power with God as a preacher should also have equal power with God in praying for the physically ill and incapacitated. John Zung had vivid memories of occasions during his childhood when God had heard importunate prayer for healing, both in the case of his mother and of his father. He had never doubted that prayer did avail for the body as much as for the soul. And soon after his return from America, and at the outset of his public ministry in Ponkin, the wife of the pastor of the church where he was ministering had a sudden heart attack, and it seemed that she was on the point of death. Dr. Sung prayed in faith that she might be healed and that God's name might be glorified in consequence. But there was no change in the woman's condition, and John Sung was assailed with doubts like those that had wrecked the faith in America. Was God indeed a living God? He knelt again at the bedside, and touching the woman, felt that she was still living. And then he prayed, O Lord, if thou livest and doest still work, give me today a true sign of thine existence by causing this, all the dead body, to live. My faith shall then never again falter. Assured that his prayer was heard, he rose up, comforted the husband, and told him not to buy a coffin. Then he went on with his ministry. At the same time, he wrote to one of his fellow workers, God has already answered our prayers. When he returned to the pastor's home in the evening, he found that this was indeed the case. The woman had recovered. God's name was glorified, and the faith of the intercessor firmly established. During Dr. Sun's visit to Shengtong after the Manchurian campaign, he had been urged to pray for the sick for the first time. But special meetings for the purpose were not then a common practice of the Bethel Band. The next noticeable mention of a healing meeting was at the Pentecostal Mission Church in Kowloon, Hong Kong, in 1932. After that, wherever Dr. Sung went, there was pressure on him to pray for the sick. Evidently, without making any claim to a gift of healing, he made it a practice to include a service of healing at the end of most of his campaigns, when he used the occasion to preach the gospel, where there was both repentancy from sin and a genuine faith in God's power to heal. There were often remarkable cases of healing, but there was also a large percentage of sufferers who derived no benefits at all. Frank Ling well remembered a girl of 16 who had to be carried onto the platform to be prayed for. But after the prayer, she stood up, gave a testimony, and walked home. But he also remembers a crippled young man of 30, for whom Dr. Sung prayed earnestly for a full half hour, even pulling at his legs with his believing hands, but without results. He had many such disappointments, complete failures in cases where there had been high expectations and great publicity. Dr. Sung usually had one meeting in every campaign, at which he would give an address on healing and the necessity for a sincere repentancy before inviting the sick to come forward. It was always made plain that it was only as people accepted Christ as Savior from sin that they could expect to be healed. Patients had to hand in a record of their names and addresses and the nature of the disease on cards provided. The subsequent procedure varied from place to place and from time to time. But always there was first much individual and unison praying, without disorder or undue excitement. Dr. Sung would then kneel on the platform, facing the audience, with a bottle of olive oil by his side. Often a group of praying Christians would kneel behind him. The sick and lame, deaf and dumb, were then called by name to the platform, where they, too, were made to kneel. One by one, they passed in front of Dr. Sung, pausing a minute or so, while he poured a little oil into the palm of his hand and rubbed it over the patient's forehead, offering a prayer as he did so. Often he quoted a verse of Scripture and said, "In the name of Jesus," sometimes accompanying the words with a sharp tap on the side of the head. Patients were made to testify on the first possible occasion after the meeting. Only one sentence was allowed, "The Lord blessed me," or "The Lord healed me." This was intended to be an essential part of the exercise of faith. Once when the man had bad eyes came for prayer, he removed his spectacles and carefully put them in his pocket. Dr. Sung sharply rebuked such lack of faith. "You should have thrown them away if you really believed." Dr. Sung was fully aware of the dangers of his work, of credulity and even of superstition. But as far as he was concerned, these meetings were primarily an opportunity for evangelism. It was of the first importance that the soul be saved. But if God should see fit to heal the body too, then all the glory was given to him. And there were many who were either healed or considerably relieved of suffering. The following typical incidents took place in the village of Golden Well near Amoy in Falkton in the early months of 1935. They are vouched for by one who personally observed each case and is now a leading church worker in Manila in the Philippines. Before Dr. Sun's visit to the town, reports had gone ahead of him from people who had been attending the Amoy meetings. There was an old Buddhist zealot who was deeply superstitious and faithful in her prayers to the spirits. She had been almost blind for 3 years and determined to test the reports of healing she had heard. She attended Dr. Song's meetings and was soundly converted. At the healing meeting, to which she was carried as usual in a sedan chair, when it came to her turn to be prayed for, Dr. Sung exclaimed, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," and immediately Mrs. Chua saw a great light and, beginning to see for the first time in three years, gave glory to God. Returning home, she was able to read her son's Bible. Soon the idols were destroyed and the home became a Christian home. Later, all the family moved to Manila, where Mrs. Chua continued to be a means of great blessing, a true choice soul, radiant in her faith through many a trial. A Christian lady who had been at the Amoy meetings became concerned about her father, who was a sufferer from nephritis and was taking opium to relieve his suffering. She went home and persuaded the old man to go to the meetings. There he was both saved, cured of his disease, and delivered from his opium habit. However, he was unwilling to destroy the stocks of opium he had in his home, as his children insisted, and proposed to sell them. In the quarrel which ensued, the old man got into a fury and fainted. When he came around again, he described a dream he had had, which had been a warning voice from God to him. Only then was he willing to destroy all his opium stocks. Another professing Christian in the village had become a secret drug addict to relieve some chronic pain from which she suffered. Once, after a church service, while injecting the morphine, the needle broke off. In her fear, she cried to the Lord to heal her and to break the habit. Prayer was immediately answered, and the woman's testimony at Dr. Sung's meetings was the first her friends knew about her secret habit. There was a leper in Golden Well in an advanced stage of the disease. He had a Christian wife, but he himself was not saved. At Dr. Sung's meetings, he definitely accepted the Savior. The wife earned barely enough money for the meager products of their small farms, and a thief one day reduced them almost to starvation. Fainting and weary, she struggled to the services one evening, but at the church became completely unconscious. When she came round, she related a dream she had of angels who offered to escort her to heaven, but she pleaded her helpless leper husband as a reason why she should stay on earth a while longer, whereupon the angel assured her that both she and her husband would be cured. She was immediately given a strong body, and later in the meetings, as Dr. Sung prayed for her husband, the disease was arrested, and the nodular swellings on his body gradually faded away, leaving only the old scars. He lived for many years and at the end had a triumphant passing from this world to the next, crying with his last breath, "The Lamb of God in spotless robes of white is coming to take me home." The wife is still alive, and there are relatives of the man still living in Manila. There was a girl student who had often heard the gospel, but had never accepted it. She was a sufferer from tuberculosis, and in desperation went to the meetings to seek healing. Obtaining a little relief, she bought a Bible and a hymn book secretly, but did not make an open profession of belief. When the disease reoccurred, her relatives resorted to prayer to the spirits for healing. Through the medium, the spirits demanded the destruction of the Bible before their prayers could be answered. The demand was carried out, and at once the girl became possessed by a demon and eventually died in terrible agony. This event emphasized the danger of an insincere repentancy. There was a poverty-stricken couple in Golden Well, the 20-year-old man being an opium smoker. The wife attempted suicide by freezing to death on the nearby mountain, but failed. The kindness of the Christians then impressed her, and she became a believer. Soon after this, Dr. Sung arrived, and the woman was greatly blessed and joined one of the preaching bands, but the husband remained in the grip of the opium craving. At last, while one of the bands was visiting the man, he asked for prayer for deliverance, and in answer to many prayers offers, was completely delivered. His wife continued to be a powerful witness for Christ and was used in the casting out of demons. The last case in Golden Well was that of a man suffering from a foul disease, which no doctor had been able to cure. The man was both saved and healed at Dr. Sung's meetings in Amoy. Later, his sister-in-law, a prostitute, attended Dr. Sung's meetings in Golden Well and professed to believe. But at the testimony meeting, to cover up her own sinful past, she spoke only of what God had done for her brother-in-law. Immediately she became possessed with an evil spirit, and in one of the meetings became violent. Dr. Sung and all the workers present offered earnest and united prayer for the woman, but whenever they sang, in the cross, be my glory ever," she became violent again. It was not until 2 years after Dr. Sung's visit that she found final deliverance. She became a sincere Christian and a real student of the Bible. Later, she went to Bible school and is still a Christian worker in Funken. What happened at Golden Well could be duplicated over and over again. There were many sustained claims for healing, and benefits were lasting. Others obtained no help at all, and some claims were subsequently shown to be unjustified. But as far as Dr. Sung was concerned, the meetings arranged to pray for the sick was valuable evangelistic opportunities, and many found Christ who had come only to seek healing.